Okay, that is entertainment, and we're in studio here with Michael Eddie Fanula joining us very shortly. She plays it fast and loose.
She does.
So how are you getting on?
I'm getting on the
how
best.
How was your week?
My week has been very good.
What did you do? Anything nice?
I did the usual kind of watching TV, listening to podcasts, and walking around. The walking around was the highlight, I think, this week because that was a week where I always enjoy walking to and from work. I enjoy walking up and down to see you here at Highland.
We love
but
having
a day
here.
Like that, or the day like yesterday when there's like clear blue skies. So I would put that down.
Are people more friendly?
Oh, I think, yeah. People smile
still,
and nod.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
The weather still gives people a lift.
I think it's just, yeah.
All right, okay. And how many kilometres a day are you walking?
Oh, roughly? The last time I checked, I'm between 25 and 30 miles a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I checked a few weeks because I had to do it.
That's kind of my year total. no, Google kind of tracks everything that you do. You're driving, you're this, and my walking is just unbelievably poor.
You never get out walking, I suppose. Well, once you're home, you're with your family.
No, well, that's just excuses, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm helping you out there. I'm giving it to you.
I can't.
You feel guilty,
that.
But you're slim and trim, like, aren't you?
Fanula.
Okay, we'll drop that.
I'm good, very good. Thank you. Now, busy.
Our own Fanula Roberts, who is chairperson of the Learning. You're chairperson of Learning Waves.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the educational body for radio
Which
stations.
Which is a huge organisation. And last week was Radio Days Ireland 2025 conference. It was held in that hotel that does the Irish First Dates.
The Gibson.
And you had a key role in that as well. Congratulations. Look. LinkedIn. We're going to have to get a bigger space in LinkedIn for you.
Everything
goes in.
I know. We had a big weekend because I had the 2 days of that. It was a fantastic radio conference just talking about the strength and the wonder. And we had the minister in, and he was even mentioned Highland a few times and that kind of thing about how, the place it has in the fabric of Donegal, and the people of Donegal
are
always so good about it and so supportive of the station. And then we had the Donegal Dublin Association dinner, which if people have not heard, and do not let him phrase it in a way that is less funny, Greg Hughes won most dapper man in the room. Best dressed, because most dapper is definitely a funnier phrase.
I never get my face in the papers, but I actually was in three
what
papers.
What was so funny was three they just them. Announced the winner of the ladies, you know, best dressed lady, and she came up beautiful, looked beautiful. And then
and
he
then
leaned
Greg
over
Hughes.
To me as they were announcing, they were about to do most dapper, and he was like, oh, I've definitely got, jokingly, was like, I've definitely got this in the bag.
I was so happy.
Jokingly. And all of a sudden they called his name and he kind of looked at me and I was like, yeah, buddy, you just won it. And he was like, what?
I can't understand why it meant so much. Like, but it was so much fun. But it was a fantastic evening, Mark, and an amazing gentleman. And it was just lovely to talk to so many people. And, you know, you're down in, and do you know what else was nice, Fanula? And this sounds like we're massaging our own, but I don't mean it like that. But isn't it nice when you a chance to people that are based in Dublin, and one of their key connections to home obviously is their family and getting home, right? It's not a million miles away, but staying in touch with what's happening in Donegal with us.
I know,
down
absolutely.
There.
I think sometimes you can forget sometimes a small bit how much it means to people when you know, and as I always say, it is, and one of the key things that came up about the during the 2 days of a radio conference, where, you know, there's everybody giving out about news and current affairs and this and that and, you know, money and all kinds of stuff. But one of the key things I think that came out of it was how important, even in all this social media world, a human connection is to people. Mm. And that connection is, and radio gives people such a great human connection. And when you're talking to the diaspora, I think that's really when you see it. You know, when you're in Dublin, when you're in London, you're talking to people when you're away on holidays. You know, like I've met people, Donegal people living and working in Spain and in lots of other countries. Yeah. And the first thing they'll always ask when they know you're from Donegal, before they even know that I work here, is something about Highland, or they know what's going on because they're very... you know, no matter how you can leave Ireland or you can leave your county, but it's still part of you.
But
it's
you're always drawn to what you're always connected to. And just back to Radio Days before we broaden the conversation and we'll chat to Michael as well. Interesting comments from the minister in the role of the media from someone within government, recognising the importance of you know, government being challenged, policies being challenged, the importance of questions. Because, you know, often you don't necessarily hear that from the powers that be, right? Because they want an easy ride, in inverted commas. That's what people believe. But he talked of the importance of policies.
His whole speech, and he spoke for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and the whole speech that he made was about challenging one of the key focal points of democracy and media's role in that is to be always challenging. And that was, I think, obviously it was framed around, you know, last Wednesday, Thursday, there was a lot of things that were going on in the Dáil that were right. I'm not going to take a side of whether it was right or wrong what they were doing, but it was definitely unusual for what we would have seen in our own Dáil proceedings in the past. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't necessarily have been tuning in to see the more people acting in that particular way. And he was talking about the changes in that, the challenges in that. And he was talking about how, you know, that a good grilling, as he phrased it himself, is part of what democracy requires of the media. And that's why the likes of radio stations, the likes of, you know, the papers, you know, traditional media, as we would say, needs to be assisted and supported. It's all well and good to say that, you know, we have a lot of people out there that are what do they call the people journalists and all that kind of stuff.
Citizens journalists,
that's the word I was searching for. But in fairness, what we need is you need to have a trusted, you need to have a regulated media that is out there and that is challenging the status quo and making sure that that people's rights and that democracy is protected. So it was a very big part of his conversation.
Yeah, and media has a very big role in all of that as well, and we have to get it right. And I'll watch on with interest. Like, I've seen the likes of the Journal's fact-checking system, but also RTE has launched this new Clarity service.
Yes, that's an interesting one to be looking at.
Whose version of the truth, as long as it's not a version of the truth, and it is the truth, right? Because, you know,
I think that's
if you're going to hold someone, say, who oppose a government policy, you're going to drag out stats, right, and say, no, that's wrong because this amount of people do that and that. That's fine. But if a minister stands up at a podium and says something, that also has to get the same level of scrutiny, in my opinion.
Oh, I think so. But I think, I think people need to start rethinking. You know, we had somebody at the conference that was talking about the BBC, you know, and they have Verify, which is on their World BBC service. It takes something like 15 people to verify. So, like, one of the things they were talking about was when the bombing restarted in Gaza. Obviously, nobody realised it was going to happen. It's a terrible thing to bring up, talk about it in a new sense, but this was one of the stories that they were talking about. So all of a sudden, on social media, you're getting these pictures, you're getting things like that and stuff being sent into them. But they then have to be verified through Google Earth. They have to be verified, you know, through so many different ways, which you see. And as you say, everything can be manipulated so easily. So I think, like, we're heading into a space where people are going to have to realise that instant is not necessarily the way you can consume your news and say that's 100%.
But my point is the first article I think they did was to disprove Conor McGregor's statement that Ireland was less safe now. As long as also they scrutinise if a housing minister stands up and says we are delivering on our commitments.
Oh, I think so. Well,
We'll need to see it.
But knowing some of the people, and obviously there was some people from RTE that were at this conference, and knowing the people that work in it, you know, it's a currently the new head of audio and VOD.
I should actually say, in fairness to the team at Clarity, they have actually already scrutinised the government's claims that on housing.
I think it's something we're all going to have to think about how it comes into
full show.
I have housekeeping before we go, because just when we were talking about radio, I'm going to throw it in there because just not only is Highland such a great place, but I want people to. We had a bit of an incident in November. People may remember our mast did not survive the big storm at the end of November.
Tell me what you're going to talk about when it's not.
I don't know because it just happened. So
am I about to get sacked on air?
No, but I promise you, if you are going to be sacked, I'm definitely going to do it on air. I'm definitely going to do it on air if it ever happens. No, in November we had an incident where our main mast.
It went kaput.
And our fantastic engineers internally and externally got us up and running. But really, I know people have been ringing in and people have been very patient with us because there has been a little bit of a sizzle here and there. There has been, when you're driving around, you're kind of small bit of that going on. Late last night, very exciting, drum roll please, we transferred over to our new mast. So I am asking, as we just said about citizen journalism, I'm asking for my Donegal people when you're out and about, when you're driving around, let us know if there's any issues with the signal anywhere, let us know because obviously this could have knock-on effects. You know what I mean?
And if anyone of your friends or family were a bit frustrated and hadn't switched on, tell them we're back. Running,
that's it, exactly. So I appreciate people were patient with us. It's a long process to try and
get it. Have you seen the transmitter?
The transmitter, it's the mast. Oh, it's beautiful.
Sorry. For me, the mast is the transmitter.
Okay, yeah, the transmission. So, I was up the mountain yesterday.
Were you really?
Yeah, I went up the mountain when I fell over nearly.
I saw that.
I was hanging on to Joe Dex to keep me from being blown away. And I was laughing because if anybody has seen me and seen Joe Dex, I'm not sure if Joe Dex could actually be called an anchor for a woman of my,
it was like a trailer for Twisters 2 or something. It was scary.
It was unbelievable. It was so windy up there. Yesterday it was beautiful, though. It was windy, but it was beautiful. But yes, we are up and running, so please God, everything is all right. And then very exciting news for one of our listeners who won the jackpot on the bingo.
Oh, really, yesterday?
Yes.
How much?
11,000 and something.
That is, the radio bingo is amazing. It's a huge fundraiser for Vision Ireland. But there's hundreds of euro up for grabs every single day.
Oh my God, there's 400 euros every day. It rolls over.
200 an extra day if it
rolls over. Yeah, everything rolls over as it's going along. And the jackpot.
Right, you can head now. We don't need you. I know. I'm afraid, Michael.
Our time is done. But the jackpot rolls over. So very exciting now. So next week we're giving away loads of money. Last week we were giving away the money to the charities. This week we've got this 11,000 euros.
And I'm giving away 1,000 quid, £1,000, I'm giving a G away on Monday. It's part of our home makeover draw, just to remind you. It's an association with our friends at Foy's. You're going to win 10,000 euro.
That.
Yeah, you're going to win 10,000 euro to shop in Foy's to rejig your home. Also 10,000 euro in cash. And if you've already got your ticket, you're in the draw. Don't worry about that. But you're also in the draw for 1,000 euro prizes. But you can get your ticket now to be part of that. My point is, and I'll make it clear, if you got your ticket on day one, you're in all the draws. Don't worry about that. If you haven't got a ticket yet, you'll be in the draw for 10,000 euro for home makeover, 10,000 euro in cash, and also a chance to win 1,000 euro every day next week, the first one being given away on this show. The tickets, as I mentioned a little earlier, available on highlandradio.com, and it's perfectly safe and perfectly secure. But you can give us a call here at the radio station, 207-491-25,000. We'll process your tickets and also send you out your, literally, it's like a little ticket with your name and your number on it. You don't have to answer a phone in a certain amount of rings. You don't have to answer your phone at all. If your ticket comes out, you win. Will we try and ring you and have a bit of crack with you on the air? Yes. Do you have to come on? No. So get your tickets now. The main draw is on the 16th of April, which is less than 2 weeks away now, I believe. And I'm going to give away a K on Monday. Okay. Right, back with Michael after these. The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. This is a show you love, isn't it?
I do. I love this show. It's now in its third season. Actually, the third season dropped last year. I'm only catching up with the third season now. Fourth season will be on the way. This is based on the books by Michael Connelly. Michael Connelly, his books are behind the TV series Bosch, which is still my favourite detective show of the last 10 years. The 10th and final season of Bosch is dropping right now.
Is that Origins?
They're calling it Legacy. It's just a continuation. I think, I'm not up to date with the new show, but I think he's a private eye now. He's not a cop anymore.
But it is still a continuation.
Oh, it's a continuation. His daughter is now a policewoman. So that's in his 10th and final season. That's been a massive hit, and it's still my favourite. It's still my favourite detective show.
Why do I start that again? Because I kind of got up to when I think his daughter was on work placement in the force.
Yeah, yeah. Is you've seen the one on the plane.
Huh?
I know you've seen...
That's the original Bosch.
Yeah. And now I know you've seen the season in the plane because we talked about it.
No, I didn't finish that though.
Okay, that's like
that's
season
where it starts
five.
Off. Yeah. No, I didn't. So that's.
Yeah. Right, I think you're up to season five.
That could
I think
be my little side. Four or five, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Ah, it's a great show. This show has a lot of the same DNA. In the books, the two characters cross over. Because this is on Netflix and Bosch is on Amazon, they won't be crossing over on TV. But in the books universe, the guys are related.
The Lincoln Lawyer and
they're related. Bosch, yeah,
right.
They're related. Lincoln Lawyer is I just think it's excellent. And I remember Fionnuala describing it, and she's correct. She described it at the start as a sort of a CBS procedural in some ways. You know, it's got that look. Mm-hmm. It looks like those CBS legal shows like... Judging Amy was one, and The Good Wife is another one. The Good Wife
does it get any more gritty?
It's not. It's not that gritty, no. It's more of a... It's not as gritty as Bosch. It's definitely not. But it's...
I like it for that, though.
I like it for that as well. I love this show, and I'm halfway through season three. It's a show that delivers complex but credible murder cases. Like, the twists and turns are not implausible, like, we'll say, McDonald and Dodds, which I love. Mm. But at the end of McDonald and Dodds, I was saying this last week...
Oh, a ghost did it.
It all falls apart a little bit in the closing credits, but I don't care because it's good fun. Lincoln Lawyer holds together very well, and what I love about season three is the seeds of the murder mystery for season three were set in season two.
Lovely.
So it's a continuation. Mm. And I love the cliffhangers, and I have to say I'm halfway through the season. I watched episode five a couple of nights ago. The cliffhangers are great. The cliffhanger at the end of episode five, have you seen season three, Fionnuala?
I don't think so.
The cliffhanger at the end of season of episode five was so good. I want to sit for that cliffhanger for a couple of nights before I dive back in. It was just a jaw dropping.
It's actually really.
What's the story?
The storyline is that the escort who he thought had moved to Hawaii.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah,
I think sometimes
it's
when
it's based on the book,
Gods
of Guilt. Sorry, Greg, I'm cutting across you.
No,
Gods
I was
going
to say when you find a new show, it is good to take a little break between the series because even the best shows in the world,
you can ruin them season after season.
Because how they tell the story can feel quite familiar.
Yeah,
because they don't change it.
I think House is one of those. I love House, but I couldn't. You can't binge watch House.
No, I tried it and I actually started ruining it.
Yeah,
for
you ruin it for yourself. Yeah. I love Lincoln Lawyer because the crimes are complex, but I also love the fact you have at the core of it you have three very likable characters. Mm. You have him. His legal partner, who is his ex-wife, and her new husband, who's the investigator. You have three, there's more characters than that, but they're the three core characters. They're likable. And it's fun to watch these guys, and it's the classic setup. They're always in a room, they're always working long hours. They always have the board, and there's always pictures on the board, and they're always looking, and he's like, something not right. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And he goes, Elliot Gould, I love Elliot Gould, one of the great movie stars of the 70s and 80s. He's his legal advisor. He's like an elderly man in this, I suppose he's an elderly man, but he's the sharp legal mind. And I like these characters and I like this idea that you're hanging out with them and you get to be in the room as they look at the board and they go, something's not right here. And then the cliffhangers are fantastic. If you've seen the season, it's the end of episode five is where he's driving back from the prison with his and they're attacked.
Yeah.
And the Jeep is flipping through the air and I was like, okay, I got to savour that. It's brilliant.
To be honest, what I like about it as well is if anybody's read the books, sometimes you read the books of anything, and then like at the moment now, I'm kind of watching this Will Trent thing.
Yes, I know that.
Love
show.
It. It's on Disney, but I'm also reading the books. They're Karen Slaughter, so they're very much. The books are so dark, and then they've made this thing which is a bit dark, but not.
How does that work? I mean, the storyline, generally speaking, books and TV shows. I mean, obviously, it depends on timelines. That's to be filled or stuff cut. But basically, you read a book. Cause I haven't done this. You read a book. And is it like re-watching the book when you see the film or vice versa? Or
well, it depends. See, with the Lincoln Lawyer, it is like it's like watching the book. Mm. They keep very close to the book. They, you know, like so that's why I can't remember, have I seen it or have I read the book?
Connolly is involved in
this. This happens in the adaptation process, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's adapted.
So sometimes they but in the Will Trent, they're very different.
Mm. Oh.
So it's like they took the characters, the exact same characters are in it. But for one, there's one of the characters that's in the TV program and it's now on series three.
Do you want to move over to Will Trent?
In the original one.
So Will Trent is on Disney,
Disney
TV series.
Similar type of thing.
Is it episodic or serial?
It's
Each case, every week is a different
every 2 weeks is one kind of a case.
Oh, so they're two-parters. They're
unintentionally kind of two-parters. You know, the way they don't feel like they've closed off because there's lots of different little bits happening with their lives.
I remember
and stuff
seeing
like that.
The trailer at the start and having a discussion with one of my friends.
He's
and,
very good. Yeah. Well, I had read one or two of the books years and years ago. Karen Slaughter is a very good. Anybody looks her up, she's got 100 books. But this is a series that she did.
Like on her shelf at home? I have more than that. What? That's not impressive.
Yeah, geez, I have 400. My mother made me give them away when I moved up here. But they have. But so that's what kind of drew me to it. And I said I'd watch it. But it's a similar type of thing as what you're saying. You know, the way it's very much focused around this one character. He works for what's called the GBI, which if anybody's watched others. American procedurals, you will know it's the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. It's kind of like the FBI in Georgia.
Yeah. I totally knew that. Yeah.
Oh, it's on loads of, it comes up in lots of different things. Yeah. It was in The Mentalist and all that. They were GBI as well.
Tell me you watch way too much TV without telling me you watch way too much TV.
I mean, hello, it's a fact. Even everybody keeps asking me, where do you find the time? I'm like, I just find
don't sleep.
There you go. So, and it's basically, it is this particular officer that's in it. He is... like a closet, for lack of a better word, dyslexic. Nobody knows that he can't read.
Tough upbringing.
And that he has difficulty, but, you know, sees things differently and so is a very good investigator. It's very much kind of about his backstory and the kind of lifestyle that lifestyle, things that happened to him in his past as a child. He grew up in care and all that kind of thing, which is very similar to what the book's about. But the books, in the books, the murders are so dark. So dark. Mm. They're just...
They happen at night?
I'm telling you, I'll bring one in. You can read a couple of passages. They are so dark. Whereas in this, they're a little bit. They don't go into as much detail or as much whatever in it. But there's great characters.
Murders
in,
like Lincoln Lawyer can be like there was what I would say a side murder. Do you remember his girlfriend in the third season and her client was killed, and that was pretty.
Just in terms of the question he asked about, because this is important to me about whether it's
serial.
So I presume there's a running theme with the characters, right? But it's different cases.
Yes,
so you get closure.
In the beginning, it started off, and it was like the whole series was kind of based around the one.
Okay.
The one big case that they were.
Ah,
doing,
okay. So serial.
But then it's changed up.
You don't.
I favour that.
Oh, yeah, but it's changed up. Like 10 episodes
it kind of has changed up a bit now and it's gone a bit like two...
Two-parters.
Two-parters kind of that combine the thing.
Like Dog Leash is two-parters,
There's a load of new shows coming out and I think people think... And there's a load of stuff that's done from books. When you're taking something from a book...
It's an IP that, I mean, you know why they're doing that. It's obviously.
You can do, but it can.
An inbuilt audience. People will be reading the book, so they want to see the show.
Well, it can also.
Thursday Murder Club will be a big film because there's so many people love the books.
Love the books.
Yeah.
I know, but the problem with it is that you just don't know what they're going to do with it. Mm. Like, loved Marion Keyes when I was younger. Loved her, had all her books, bought them and held on to them. You know that kind of way? Mm-hmm. You were like, oh my God, she's so great. And then one of her books, Lucy Sullivan's Getting Married, was one of my favourite ones. This is now in my 20s. And she sold it to UTV. And they got Letitia Dean from EastEnders. You know you went from EastEnders? Dean, yes. From EastEnders to be in it. And a few other women were in it. And I never... bought a Marion Keyes book again
never
after.
Forgiven
yeah,
never
but that's
forgiven
her. More a reflection of you than it is on Marion Keyes.
Come on.
No, it's
no,
not.
No,
it's
no,
because
that's what can happen.
It's not. It's because of she sold out. And
to me, it was like,
it.
Well, to me, what happened was, is I kind of felt like, well, why do I care about her books when she didn't care? Yeah. If she didn't care about her books.
See, it depends on the level of investment.
But hold on a second. Did she have any creative control? Did she make the show?
I know,
she sold it cheap. UTV shouldn't have been fit to buy it.
If I was smart enough to write
ITV do good
an
shows
amazing
too.
Book and I was selling it for television, I would 100% hold on to at least some creative control. Mm. Even if I had to drop the
do
money.
Do you know how lowly regarded writers are?
Seriously though. But if they want it, they'll want it and they just don't have to pay.
Like, I'm rewatching 30 Rock.
I know money is important.
And there was a great gag in one of the episodes. I'm in season 3 and Jenna's, there's a couple of episodes about her trying to get a Janis Joplin movie, you know, up and running, and they have this entertainment news and they're like, and Steven Spielberg is going to direct it and Julia Roberts is up for it and it's going to be written by the greatest screenwriter in the world. whoever the heck that is. Yeah. Nobody cares about writers.
Yeah, nobody cares about writers to the point that no one cares about that joke. That's how bad it is. Right, so Will Trent, it started in 2023, so there's a lot of episodes out there.
They do like 20 a season, don't they? It's a full
18,
ABC
coming up
show.
With
yeah.
A new one. Yeah. You love it?
Yeah, I do. I really enjoy it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It gives you, you know, there's a little bit of grit. The story, like the same way with The Lincoln Lawyer, it gives you, you know, good characters, a good kind of like plot twists and turns as to the whodunits and that kind of thing. So, but it doesn't give you, just if anybody's read the books, it's not as graphic as the books.
And
the
listen,
books
that's
are
on
so
Disney
graphic.
Plus, and maybe you know, for Disney Plus at the moment is quite discounted, I think. But even if
you get 6 months,
don't be loyal. If you're watching Netflix all the time and you're wondering there's nothing on, take 3 months of Disney and watch it instead.
Oh,
wait
yeah.
for Netflix's library to be, you know, refreshed
and switch and go back
again.
Because
Disney's not just about Snow White and this, that, and then cartoons and Aquaman and stuff. There's a lot of stuff on Disney. That's gritty as well.
Oh yeah, the Star. If anybody is wondering about whether or not they should go to Disney, look up Star, which I'm assuming is a channel or a production. I think it's a channel in America, but Disney must own it because they have a whole section in it that is.
They were behind Power and all of those types of shows.
Oh yeah,
as well,
they were behind the one you liked as well with the detective-y one. Do you remember? It came out, was it Apple or something? I can't think what it was called.
Star.
Your man, when Disney first came out.
I think
out,
I know which one
really
it is.
Good
we'll
dramas.
Get that during the break. Lincoln Lawyers on Netflix, season three. Three
nine
seasons
out of ten.
That are
I love
there.
It. I love it. I loved it all along, yeah.
It's a good show. So there's two good shows if you... Now, I'm less inclined to watch telly at this time of year.
Oh, I'm the same.
Because it's a draw curtains, draw blinds stuff, and I ain't going to do that while it's bright.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like been snooker, football and darts. And also on, if you like your documentaries, Gone Girls, the Long Island serial killer story is up there too. It's three episodes, very watchable. Mm-hmm. People might be familiar with that case, which is still ongoing at the moment. They only made a lot of progress in that case in the last year or two.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the case at all. I've seen the thing for the television, but I was watching
I've seen it before, but it's watchable. I watched the three episodes in one night, which was...
Oh, you were into it? Okay, yeah, that's good. That's a three-hour documentary.
I wasn't going anywhere. You know yourself. All right, then, back
the best-dressed man, and you're not heading out?
Dapper.
Most dapper.
Oh, dapper, sorry. Yeah. Dapper.
Most dapper man dapper in the room.
But which I think is actually...
I saw that
flamboyant.
Picture. I thought it was just another AI fake picture. I was like, what?
It's just a funnier word when I think of you as being dapper.
Dapper.
He is dapper.
Oh, God, the amount of dapper men I beat off that night. Unbelievable.
There were some very handsome men in the room.
I know. Okay, then we'll be back with more after these. Okay, right, Michael and Fionnuala have stepped out because we have our own Donna Marie Doherty, who's in studio with us. Hi, Donna Marie. Good
how
to have
we?
You in. Daniel Brown, who is director of what we're going to be talking about now from the Book Drama Circle. How are you getting on?
Not so bad. Thanks for having
good
us.
Good stuff. And we also have John Clay, who stars in this show we're going to talk about. He plays the role of Johnny. How are we getting on, John?
Good.
John. It's handy people to keep the same name. It makes it handy for the rest of the cast, I would imagine. All right. For the first time ever in the Northwest, the award-winning Green Day's American Idiot explodes onto stage in the Ballet Theatre in Belle Buffet. It's from Wednesday the 9th to Sunday the 13th of April. So it's just around the corner. Daniel, why this show? What drew you to it? Why did you think, right, this is what the audiences of the Northwest need or want?
I think it's really an opportunity to do something a little bit different. And, you know, at least for me, I really find that the show kind of resonated with me a lot. I guess kind of going back to the real start of the production of all of this, you have to go back about 5 years. Yeah, it was a show that was really kind of sticking with me. I was listening to the soundtrack a lot and, you know, I just thought the way that it built on the original album by Green Day and how, like, that concept album with the overarching narrative and stuff, it really fleshed it out in a way that I thought was really impressive and it stuck with me a lot. So, again, going back about 5 years, I was in my final year of college listening away to the soundtrack, and when the pandemic hit, we went into lockdown and... Basically, I kind of threw my life into my college work, typing up reports, all that kind of stuff, sitting on a laptop for 12 hours a day. And then those deadlines came and went. All the, you know, reports and everything got submitted and we were still in lockdown. So I ended up kind of just doing the same thing, spending 12 hours a day sitting on a laptop typing about Green Day's American Idiot. And yeah, it was kind of just a bit of time for me to kind of conceptualize the what if of if we were to ever make this happen, if this was to ever happen in, you know, in the Valor. That's, you know, a building I kind of grew up in, really, between like youth theatre and school musicals and, you know, Balor summer shows, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was kind of just, that was my frame of reference of if we were to ever do this.
I love Green Day myself. Are they underappreciated, do you think? I mean, in terms of the quality of their work, but also the longevity. I think, was it last year or the year before they went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And they still sound brilliant. They look great too. They've aged pretty gracefully, I think, as well. And I think a lot of people who don't know Green Day will not realise some of the songs are Green Day songs because they can switch, you know, they can switch tact and do it authentically. I just wonder, are they do get the credit they deserve, do they, John?
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, I wasn't the biggest Green Day fan at all.
Great, okay, moving on.
Like, I would know the few big ones, but I think that's one of the great things about the show, you know. It's not...
Did you enjoy the process of learning more about Green Day, though?
Oh, exactly.
As a musician.
That's what's so enjoyable about it, you know, and I think for anyone, whether you're a Green Day fan or not, you know, this is the best show I've ever done. I've done maybe 5 or 6 different various shows and musicals up in the Valor. This, for me, because I'm close to the production team and I see the passion that Daniel has for it and everything like that, that is a bonus as well. But I wasn't even that big of a Green Day fan and I could still really enjoy how much of a different show it is. You know?
So what... How is it presented? And I'll bring Donna Marie in a second, Daniel. How are you presenting the show, right? Because we've got the music. We've got two fantastic albums, at least, right? But so what are you presenting on the night? I mean, obviously, so there's great music there, right? And how do you interweave that?
Well, I think the beautiful thing about the fact that American Idiot is a concept album is that there is a narrative in place there. And I think it lends itself so well to translate into the stage. I've really come to believe that, you know, the musical for me is kind of the definitive edition of that story where it's fleshed out so much more. All the different characters that exist within it have their own voices, are able to be seen visually as well as in the music. You know, I think it just is, you know, it's able to be presented sort of in that musical theatre style, which is so much more comprehensive in terms of telling the story. So,
and this is from an era whereby, you know, I mean, a lot of people now consume their music, you know, via streaming platforms. It's not necessarily in order, or, you know, the album is, they don't necessarily know how that album was put together or how it was curated, you know what I mean? Whereas, you know, people of a certain area will listen to an album from beginning to end, and there is a journey there. There's ups and downs, and often a story that sort of goes... throughout that's being lost a little bit, maybe with the reemergence of vinyl and what have you, it's coming back a little bit. So talk to me about Heather, Donna Marie.
So the story takes place post 9/11 and it follows three young men, and a lot of the people who are in it are kind of in their, the character, and are in their early 20s. I don't think I can say that anymore. But so Heather is the girlfriend of one of these guys, Will, and it really is, they're going through this time where it's like nobody really knows what they're meant to be doing, and they try to make a stand, be like, right, this is what we're going to do. And she has this total sort of, I suppose, transformation of fighting her own self-worth, you know, is Will what she wants? Is Heather what Will wants? And it's just kind of going through that sort of emotion, and it's filled with angst, it's filled with punk, it's just, oh, I love it. I love this show, so I did, like, I loved this whenever I was 16, and I was like, oh my god, I'm so filled with all this teenage angst. And
Donna Marie was off script pretty much from the first hour.
So to be able to, I always really wanted to go see this show. I never thought that it would be in Belfast.
John, talk to me about Johnny.
I want to say enough, but not too much as well, you know. Johnny's a fantastic character now. He's one of the three main lads, and the three lads basically start off in their hometown, and they have this drive in them to take off to the big city and chase their music dreams and stuff. And for various reasons, Johnny ends up, for better or for worse, on his own, and he goes through these trials and tribulations of him in this big city and the pitfalls that these young people may or may not fall into. I'm trying to be as cryptic as I can.
No, I understand that. I get you, and you're doing well. Yeah, yeah. What you are not unfamiliar with the stage, but that hasn't been your primary focus as of late. What's it feel like getting back into that environment?
Absolutely fantastic, you know, fantastic. Like, some of my best memories growing up was doing shows in the Ballers, musicals in the Ballers, and my long-lasting friendships have all been through the theatre, you know.
Right, brilliant stuff. In terms of the marketing, Daniel, who's responsible for that? Because it's great.
Yeah, that's mostly been Kitty Lucas, producers. Yeah, okay. She's just been absolutely knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, it is, because it's selling sort of an era, a feeling. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not particularly artistic, but it's been doing really, really good. Okay, we'll remind people of the tickets and all that kind of stuff. But John Clay has been good enough to agree to perform for us, and it's going to be they're all great, right? This is one of a lot of people's favourites from Green Day, and this is Boulevard of Broken Dreams. John Clay, who plays the role of Johnny. Whenever you're ready, John.
I'll give you a wee snippet.
Nice stuff. That's just a sample of some of the music that's in this show. It must be a strange emotions for you, Daniel, when you're building up to something for so long and you're right on the precipice now. You're right there ready to present it to the wider public, and, you know, I'm sure they will, but you hope that people will come out and people will get what you've been working on. Like, you've an awful lot into this of yourself, I'd imagine, Daniel. It could be miles out, but
no, absolutely. I think really the whole journey's been pretty surreal. Like, I think that I never really expected that much would come of it whenever I was sitting typing up notes on it, but, you know, just with every step of the way, I've just been blown away by the enthusiasm from, you know, like the Butt Drama Circle, for instance. Just from the moment we put it forward to them, there's just been so much, you know, like enthusiasm and so much energy that's come from them in terms of making this happen. So many things I never could have possibly, like, thought would come to fruition and, you know, the same goes for, you know, the cast, the crew, the band, the production team. Just everyone has just been
Whatever you have must be infectious, because you've taken a lot of people with you on the way. It is the name of the show is American Idiots, Green Day's American Idiots. Is that correct? And it's on stage in the Ballet Theatre in Ballet Buffet from Wednesday the 9th to Sunday the 13th of April. Tickets are just €15, and it's a thrilling rock opera, a story about youth, freedom and friendship, which everyone can relate to that at one stage or another, if not currently. So it's going to be cross-generational, there's no doubt about that. And the box office, where to go, Donna Marie, I presume, the usual, isn't it?
Yeah, you can get your tickets online or you can phone in to the box office. I think so far Saturday's nearly gone, if it's not already sold out. They're all pretty kind of latent, so they are. So, like, the actually two of the cast work in the box office, and they just say every day there's like chunks going. So if you do want to get your tickets,
yeah, don't leave it too late.
No, don't leave it too late. You'll okay. be
disappointed. Right, okay. And the first show, Wednesday the 9th to Sunday the 13th inclusive. Daniel, thanks very much. It's been lovely having you in. The director of the show, Donna Marie Doherty, who plays Heather. And you heard John Clay performing there, Boulevard of Broken Dreams, assisted, it has to be said, not by me, but by Daniel. And he plays the role of Johnny. All three of you, best of luck with it. I'm sure it's going to be an absolute blast.
But Fionnuala asked me a question before we came back into the studio, and I'm searching furiously for an answer to Fionnuala's question.
I apologise. We want to go and see that play, or we're trying to figure
out dates. Yeah, we're trying to figure out what dates. And I have a conflict. My answer is I have a conflict on the 12th and 13th.
Well, imagine having conflicts.
Too busy.
There's a fundraising quiz and raffle for Blake's Memorial Fundraiser. It's taking place at the Station House Hotel Letterkenny. It's a quiz. Teams of €40 per table. April the 4th, 7:30 p.m. That's tonight, isn't it? Okay, so get along to that. Proceeds are in aid of the Rotunda Hospital, Crumlin Children's Hospital and Hughes House. There's a fundraiser for the local school in Carrigart tonight in the Goose and Gander in Downings as well, by the way, if you're in that area and you like a quiz. Michael, don't let Greg away with saying Aquaman and Disney. He's DC, not Marvel. See, this is the problem I have with you people. Why would anyone pull that up? And I just want to mention, by the way,
Marvel stuff. Okay. I've tried to educate you, Greg, but it just is not. The seeds are not.
I just want to mention, we were going to hope to speak to Oisin ahead of the big game on Sunday, of course. Donegal against Derry. It's in Ballybuffet. We've got live coverage of it here. A fantastic team down there in Ballybuffet. If you want to sort of get more of the build-up, we had the score last night. DL debate on Monday. There's loads of interviews, opinions. What do you think? What does Eamon McGee think is going to happen? That's on our website as well. Mm-hmm. And then the Saturday sport and the build-up on Sunday. The full match live. Brendan Kilcoyne is going to be doing some special analysis on co-coms. Is Brendan Devaney. And with the main mic, it's Oisin Kelly. So if you're into Donegal, if you're into Derry, it's across the board on our website right now in the sports section. But also, you can listen to the commentary live, which is fantastic. You can, that new transmitter, listen to with your headphones.
Very handy.
With your headphones in McCool Park. A lot of people who don't frequently go to live sporting events do miss the commentary.
Yeah.
The play-by-play, you know. Yeah. So there you go. That is an option. All right, so Oisin and the crew, they're all over that. Now, Bruised Orange is Ireland's premier John Prine tribute band. They are in on Green On Theatre tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Boasting some of Ireland's most experienced musicians, the five-piece band is made up of Michael Mike McMacGarry, Anthony Toby Cregan, Derek Matthews, Steve Milne and Shay Carey. Each member brings a unique set of talents and abilities to the group, which provides for a unique live John Prine experience.
Wow.
Is it like this in every county, Fionnuala, do you think? I mean, obviously Galway is as a city in it, but like there's so much on at any given weekend in our area, isn't
there?
Oh, I know,
it's hard
to keep
up
with. Phenomenal. Between top-level sport to top live performances, not to mention all the beautiful scenery and everything. I mean, like, am I being biased here in saying that we seem to...
And I'm from Galway and I love Galway.
Yeah.
But no, I think particularly in Donegal when it comes to the arts and that kind of stuff, like when you're talking about the theatre and the arts and music and stuff, you know, I know down home you see a lot of stuff, but it's in pubs and it's in this, whereas we've got some great theatres all over the place, some great spaces, you know, large and small. You know, you're talking about Junior playing Gwydor in different places.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see that in a lot of small towns. You know, nothing. Gwydor is not a large town.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I know. Yeah, you know.
Somebody, you but you don't see that everywhere that you see.
You won't see that in other comparable communities.
And this is the nicest county in Ireland when it comes to...
Like, I could take an ocean when I come off ferry, get in the car, drive to Burton Port, take my car over to Armour Island, and sit up in Arlie's looking out over the sea with a Lucozade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fannad or wherever you wanted to go.
Oh, Fannad must be beautiful today. Can you imagine?
There's great access now to Murderhall Beach. You know, before it was a bit of a climb and all. But I mean, this could be the weekend you go and see that. There's so much to do because that's entertainment.
There absolutely is. Like we did that all around Ards Forest Park. which nearly killed me. But we
you loved it. You never complained.
You know
never complained once.
It didn't.
Always.
No, it didn't.
There was one time you complained.
No.
One time.
Jesus, I've heard it. The lovely people that were walking the Camino practically piggybacked me
that's,
by the end
that's
of
actually
it.
Completely untrue. And also, she had an option to pull out halfway round and she didn't either. And this walk,
yeah, right, that's started because off on she loves to complain.
Yes. It started off on lovely flat trails and flat walks. And next thing you know, it was like the first camp.
I know. The first camp. It was
Everest.
Beautiful, though.
Base
it
camp
was
in Everest.
Stunning. We had a great day.
Oh, my God. And it was like today now, you know what I mean? You just kind of wrap up a bit now and I'd like go down there and then walking across the beach and up the hill. It was beautiful.
When you came down off so that height, and it's quite a perilous climb down. It has to be
or when you came
but
down,
then the beach opens out.
Is it the Priory? It's called.
Yes,
you know, like
when
you came down around the side of the Priory, and then beautiful. You went down, and you were like looking straight across it. I don't know where were we looking straight across it.
Across to Downing's actually.
Oh, yeah. That was. Yeah. I mean, that water was like glass. It was beautiful. Mm. This county is amazing. I'm always saying the only thing that's wrong with this county is that you don't tell people enough about how amazing
it is.
That's
because we want it all and to yet, ourselves. Unless you're bringing money, then money. We like your money.
Well, this is the most beautiful county. So even just driving around now this weekend, if the weather stays like this, we love it.
Again, I've said this before, and sorry, it's just an age thing. But there's different experiences in every part of the county, really. Mm. As if it's an island experience, as I mentioned, or it's a lighthouse experience, or it's a cliff experience, or if it's, you know, I mean, you can go out, you can pick up a relatively cheap or higher kayak. And I mean, if you've seen Donegal from the sea, is astonishing. Heading out from. Anyway.
No, somewhere it's over near Dunloe has popped into my head.
But Dunloe's lovely, but on the other side here. I did it, and you can go into caves, and it's just absolutely phenomenal.
I never heard that. I was thinking of more relaxing.
Into caves, and then you look up and you see the sky.
It's
and
too energetic for you.
It's really.
Oh no, I love kayaking.
Kayaking is it's tight, but it doesn't wear you out like walking or running might. Like you can take a break and put the order, and then keep going on. Like it's one of those.
There's somewhere, and I think it's definitely the west of the county, and you go. It's like kayaking and champagne, and you go on a lake. And you kayak around and you have champagne and I'm like, boom.
Wow.
In this weather, lovely. There's a lot of ingenious tourism ideas done by people and you're like, that sounds awesome.
Okay, we only got to the Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. So that would keep you occupied for the weekend. And also Will Trent. It's a bit of a sleeper, Will Trent, because Disney is still a little bit obscure as a streaming site. So Will Trent might be a nice little recommendation for some people, especially if you like the books.
Go in and check out Disney. Mm. There's a lot of big stuff in it. You know, Dying for Sex is after coming up with, you know, your one Michelle Williams.
Oh, right. Okay.
That was it. She's got a new series. A lot of new half hour stuff that's coming up. A lot of comedy
Michelle
stuff,
Williams, really. The actress? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Michael, thank you so much. See you next Friday. Great to have you in studio.
Have a good weekend.
We'll see you really, really soon, of
course.
And
you're looking so dapper.
We'll be back on Monday. It is dapper. I don't mind that. I'll embrace it. We'll be back on Monday, all being well, 9 o'clock, bright and early.